Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party is already started.
Howl through the narrow lane, but faith lights up the darkened plain. Mile by mile we bravely ride, with God's goodness as our guide.
About Matthew 7:24, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's a conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, and he's like, he hears and does. So we're talking about hearing, yeah. Learning to hear from God. We got to talk about doing what you hear. Because I think most of us struggle hearing.
Yeah.
And then even when we do hear, we struggle doing.
Yeah.
But that's part of the relationship of, and that's what Jesus was trying to tell us, that when we hear and do, we're like the man that builds his house on the rock. That's the wise way to live. That's the better way to do. Because the storm's coming, period. The storm came both to the wise man and the foolish man.
So these are just some questions I have thinking about that. Jesus actually was talking to those, his hearers.
Yeah.
So he meant what he was saying when he said it to them. But the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it, I don't know how I would look at that. I've often looked at it as Jesus was taking the law when he says, you have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you, and he was stepping it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just to emphasize, this is something you can't do.
Yeah.
So this is my question.
Okay.
And is the Sermon on the Mount? I mean, after you just read that verse, is the Sermon on the Mount a blueprint for living?
I don't know that I can answer that question concisely, because
we got 4, 5, 6 hours.
I know it. which I realize we're always. Unrehearsed and just off the cuff in all of our programs. I know there's several schools of thought on the Sermon on the Mount that deal with interpretation and application. And it's everything from these are teachings of Jesus before the cross, under the Old Testament, to the Jew.
Yeah.
Therefore, it doesn't carry much weight today. I've heard that opinion. And then I've heard the other side of, all this is the, I'm going to use your term, blueprint for living in a legalistic way.
Yeah.
Of we're red letter people, and this is the red letters, and this is what Jesus said, and this is exactly what we ought to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a very legalistic view in that. Now I need to get out of that judgment seat about that. But
it is.
Somewhere between those two is probably where I'm trying to find myself. But I'll have to say that if we hear what Jesus is really saying in the Sermon on the Mount, and do it, maybe that's how I want to clarify his concluding statements as I'm understanding or reading it today.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, and I know you're probably the same on this, but I would say, yeah, it's okay to hear, read those scriptures and hear, but the more important thing would be is to hear what he's saying now to you.
Yes.
Which might not necessarily be specifically in that scripture.
Correct.
And that definitely could tie into that verse you read, he that hears these words, you know, are you hearing God?
Yeah, yeah. I might be taking a little too much liberty for some people about that.
No, I don't think so.
Understand at the conclusion on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, he that hears these teachings of mine and does them, okay, and some want to pigeonhole that into, that's all he was talking about was that.
Yeah.
And that's not what I'm trying to say, because there are other.
That's a bear.
Where?
Dead in the road. Dude, is there
a sign? A bear or a hog?
I think it's a bear.
No, that's a pig.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just a dark black hairy pig.
Looking at it from this side, looks like it's not a bear. Let me show you.
Oh, I bet. I can see how you would think that, because the way its face is. Yeah.
When you look at its chin from underneath, it looks
right
like
there.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see
like
why you think that. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. Hey, we see all kinds of wildlife out here. And so if you see a bear, I don't want to see it.
It looks like it.
Yeah. I see the county hadn't, or the parish hasn't fixed
right
this
here.
Old no, muddy yeah. spot, has it?
Somebody had.
Uh-uh.
Because there's a lot of stuff in the Sermon on the Mount that, I don't know, I think there's, I mean, for instance, in Matthew 6, where he says, don't worry about your life.
Mm-hmm.
Consider the birds. I'll take
yeah.
care of them. Aren't you worth more than a bird?
Yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
That's
well,
a
that's
word.
You,
a
that's
good
you.
Word.
That's you resting in the Father.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's just over where he talks about turning the other cheek that you have
one,
a little problem.
One, well, yeah, maybe.
Or,
but it talks about loving your enemy.
Yeah.
You know, I think resting in the Father. You're living life with him. You can turn the other cheek. You
yeah.
can love your enemy. So, but there's, I don't know. There seems to be a lot of. I haven't read it recently, but when you read it, the way that I hear it is very legalistic. But it's just because of where I come from.
Yeah,
like he talks about divorce and remarriage. You're an adulterer. You know, you're gonna
yeah.
you just. You just write you off the books, you know.
Yeah.
Just, I think that's in the Sermon on the Mount.
It is.
But anyway.
Well, I guess that's where I put my go back to my restate my qualifier. Who hears what Jesus means by this proper interpretation and application?
Yeah.
Because you can hear all kinds of things.
So
you can get your proof text, or
so,
but you're missing the point.
Yeah. Just a couple of qualifiers. I'm not meaning to interrupt you, but we'll lay this down, and then you can keep on. God is Father.
Yeah.
He is love, and he is good.
That's right.
And he is seen, not only seen in Jesus, but is in Jesus.
He is Jesus.
Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah. They're one.
Okay, so those, there's four qualifiers right there, are foundational
yeah.
that you need to bring to the scripture with you.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you and I have been friends a long time, and we've discussed opposing views on
yeah.
scriptures
yeah.
our whole friendship. It just, we never let it get in the way of our friendship,
yeah.
even when we don't agree. But we have, through that process, learned these basics of God is Father, and he is good, and Jesus
yeah.
is the full, complete revelation of God,
yeah.
and we are one in him. All these things that we've come to understand of late about him that shape our reading of Scripture and our conversation of Scripture.
Yeah.
But we also are very aware we came out of places that when these same scriptures were read, preached, or taught, they had a different slant on it. Mm-hmm. They highlighted some of the judgmental side of it.
God, they'd start off with God being a judge.
Yeah.
You're under the law.
That's right. And here's Jesus laying down the laws of the kingdom with emphasis on laws.
Yes.
Instead of kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that brings to mind that verse where it's in Colossians where he says that he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son.
Yes.
Man, what's that mean?
Well, okay, I was thinking the other day about that verse, and I was thinking back to some times that I've heard some preachers quote that, preach that, reference that, and that we've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, and maybe say, you know, kingdom of God. But Paul said it was the kingdom of his beloved son.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall in my lifetime, my memory, anyone ever pointing out the fact that it says beloved son.
Yeah.
That it was like you got out of this kingdom of darkness and you got brought over here into the kingdom of God. But this kingdom,
the kingdom of light, you need to start doing right.
Yeah, it was still more judge and law, and
you can't do this, you can't do that.
Yeah, what you can, can't do, and consequences for every misstep. Nothing that was relational. That's just a little sliver of my experience, and it may be my overstatement of it too.
Well,
but when you realize it is the kingdom of a beloved son, and you are a beloved son, and you have, and a son implies a father.
Yes.
Our father is king.
Yes.
The king is father. He's father before he's king.
Yeah.
He's
eternal father.
Yeah, he's eternal father.
Son and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Let me read that. I've been reading this book. Trying to. I've been wading in it and running out. Wading in it and running out because it's so deep. Norman Grubb's God Unlimited. You ready for me to read this book?
You go right ahead. I'm waiting on you. You read it to me the other day over the phone. I thought it was really good.
Let me ask you this. Should I read half of it or a whole of it?
You probably ought to stop somewhere because
I'm talking about the paragraph.
I know. Well, probably half because... Okay. It's got so much in it, I can't retain it all in my memory.
Well, I understand that, but I'll read it and then we'll come back.
You can read it all.
Okay. When we say that a person is endowed with self-consciousness, which is freedom, what do we mean? Penetrate into a self, God's self, our self, we find desire. A self desires to please itself, to express itself, and so on. How does God, the primal self, do that? By the begetting of his Son to be the object of his love, and the Son receiving and returning the love of the Father, and the Spirit of the Father and the Son proceeding forth to express the same love nature in all creation. But a self can please and express itself in an opposite manner. Others can be for its benefit, not it for others. Self-loving, not self-giving, can be its motivation. When we speak of a self-conscious self, we therefore mean a person capable of recognizing the opposites, which are the basis of all manifested life. And who has freedom of choice? God, the original self, has been fixed in choice through all eternity. His self-life is the love life of pure self-giving. For God is the eternal three, loving and serving each other. In that sense, we may say that there has been a cross in the heart of God through all eternity. For he has eternally died to the possibility of being a self-loving self, and all the powers of his selfhood have been poured into self-giving service, in which he finds the consummation of all the desires of self, his good pleasure,
which he has purposed in himself, so that he is joy, he is peace, because he is love.
That's good. That's good.
Now, where you want to jump to, and I'll read it again.
Well, I don't know about that. Okay. Well, I might. Okay. Who knows what we've listened to, James? As I listen to that again today, he does, I guess, to me, when I hear that, I'm like, he has some fresh language trying to express the relationship within the Trinity of Father, Son, and Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much appreciate him having some fresh language to me about that.
Yeah.
That I think we all stand in marvel and mystery of that divine dance of Father, Son, and Spirit.
Mm.
But the phrase he used about the cross, how do you say it? The cross being permanently in the...
All right. Look on him, Barbara. In that sense, we may say that there has been a cross in the heart of God through all eternity.
Yeah.
For he has eternally died to the possibility of being a self-loving self.
Yeah. I think that's a powerful statement right there.
It is.
I'm like, wow, that's
God
good.
Has eternally died to yes. the possibility.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I like the wording and the freshness that I'm hearing out of what he's attempting to capture there in the gospel. I think about some other Bible verses about Christ being the lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
And that this idea that I'm coming to understand about the true nature of God and who he's always been.
Yeah.
And he's always been a self-giving, other-centered person. And that what we see manifested in the cross outside of Jerusalem on a hill called Calvary, where we crucified Jesus of Nazareth, the eternal Son of God, the Word made flesh, that what we see displayed there is this true nature of God who loves us to the end, radically forgives us of all sin, truly keeps no record of wrong, does not do abandonment. He is he is with us even on our worst day, abiding, giving, and that this is an idea. It's good news, but it is hard for me to grasp that he is a being who is always other-centered, self-giving. Because I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, I fight most of my days just worried about Larry and my needs and what I'm supposed to be doing, with very little consideration of others.
Yeah.
Maybe my immediate family, others, and my friends, but past that, no.
Yeah.
And that's not who he is, and I think that's what the New Testament writers or Paul was trying to get across to us sometimes about God and this unfolding plan that's always been in his heart, that it is his joy and delight. His mind's made up about us and about his self-giving nature.
That's right.
And then he's brought us into this dance and into this life, but lets us retain choice about whether we participate or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the music's going,
but
are we gonna dance to it?
Yeah.
But he's not gonna turn the radio off.
Yeah, the party's already started.
The party's already started. It's always going.
It might be that older brother that's in the backyard that refuses to come in, but it doesn't change.
Yeah, but he,
yeah. of what is.
He may be mad at the music, but he's still hearing it.
When you think about the lamb yeah. that was slain from the foundation of the world, immediately I thought of my favorite verse.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in here and say thanks for tuning in. Hope you're being blessed by our conversations. Reach out to us. I'd like to hear from you. FindingOurWay.co. You can find where the show is, all of our podcasts, YouTube, everything's there. Even got a little blog. There's a place that says contact us. Hit that and you can send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Wanted to give a little plug for this book that I'm reading from in this show, a book by Norman Grubb. It was first published in 1962. If I'm reading this correctly, this is from my uncle who had this book in Vietnam in 1968. When he was there. Also, the things we're talking about, the finished work of Jesus and how that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's a good book that has really blessed me in my journey. Robin Smith wrote this book. The title of it is It Is Finished. I want to share with you just a little blurb from the back cover of the book. It says, "What if 2,000 years ago was the catalyst that changed everything? What if Hosea and Isaiah saw something that we haven't fully grasped?" This book, I've been blessed by this book. Thanks for reaching out. Y'all be blessed.
Ephesians 1:4.
Yeah, what's that say, James?
I'm gonna put them together. The lamb that was slain. We were chosen in the lamb that was slain before the foundation yeah. of the world, that we might be before him, holy before him, face to face in love.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reality. And that verse, slain from the foundation mm-hmm. of the world, that just nails it even farther for me.
Mm-hmm.
God made up his mind before yeah. time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like to say it, he wanted a great big family.
Yeah.
And that's what yeah. he's getting.
Yes. And he's happy all the way along.
It's his great pleasure.
It's his great pleasure.
Let's see. There's been a cross in the heart of God through all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
For he has eternally died to the possibility of being mm-hmm. a self-loving self.
Yeah.
And all the powers of his selfhood have been poured into self-giving service mm-hmm. in which he finds the consummation of all the desires of self, his good pleasure. Listen to this. This is what he's probably referring to. And because of God's unfailing purpose, and this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. This is the unveiling. I'm backing up a verse. This is the unveiling of his secret desires, this hidden mystery, this long-range plan that he delighted to implement from the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah.
That cross, God eternally died to the possibility of losing one.
Yeah.
But determined to have every. If I'm going to lay it out there, this is just where I am today. You got the Armenian view that we grew up on, that you got to do something, trust Jesus, and be born again. And then you got the Calvinistic view that I came to at one point in time, that where that through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of the word, the Bible, the truth, the Holy Spirit accompanied that and quickened some, those God's chosen, which is very few. When you put those two up against this idea of God doing something before time, eternally fixed it in his heart, and that lamb was slain, I mean, which one's the more beautiful?
Yeah, well, you know,
I never had a taste for the Calvinist.
I did.
Oh, I know. You shoved that cup to my lips many times, but I wouldn't sip it. That's where I'm so. I mentioned a while ago about we conversed about scriptures through our friendship, but we retained friends even though I never joined you in your Calvinistic theology. I had a different form of heresy I held to. It was some quasi-Arminian.
Yeah.
You couldn't lose your salvation, but if you didn't choose it, you didn't get it.
Yeah.
And
anyway. And neither one of us are saying you shouldn't choose it.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right.
We just believe God's big enough and loving enough and merciful enough to help you learn to choose it.
Yeah. Well,
or I'll speak for myself.
Well, yeah, I'll say that. I agree with you. It's choosing to have a relationship with a God as a heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And living as a beloved son, a delightful child.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Not a slave to serve God and endure to the end. Yeah, hope I'm saved.
Yeah. There was just so much that baggage that came along with the gospel I grew up on. But it was all I knew. And all they knew, wasn't nobody trying to pull one over on nobody. They just all doing the best they could.
Yeah. Don't stop talking this all good.
I'm just gonna get that water, go through that creek right there. There's old fox squirrel laid up on the limb over a while ago, us staring at.
Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.
When we stumble and fall, He holds our hand. Together we'll find goodness in this land.